May be seated. If you're visiting with us today, we do want to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and invite you to look in the back of the seat in front of you, especially if it's your first time visiting with us today. You'll see a plastic envelope with a slip of paper inside that, and we'd appreciate you filling out that little slip of paper just to give us some contact information for you. And at the end of the service, if you would, please drop that completed form off into the wicker basket. It's just to the right of the glass double doors on your way out there. All right, we appreciate you being here with us today, and thank you again for joining us in worship today.
Good morning. The number of people missing today because of illnesses, and they've advised us ahead of time that they wouldn't be here, so we sort of anticipated a few missing people. The announcements, Women's Bible Study is Tuesday evening at 6:30. Terry Buckler is leading a study of the book of Numbers. All ladies and women are welcome. Wednesday night prayer service, a Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody is welcome. Food collection for Kindness Cottage is a service that we undertake. Items requested are canned sweet peas, corn, carrots, that kind of thing. Grocery bags are needed for packing items. See Gene Fox if you have questions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your being our God and our Father. You are an awesome God, and all we have to do is just look up to the heavens at night and see the wonders of your creation. And we forget about the water that we drink and the air we breathe, your creation. Father, we thank you for your servant Mike, who teaches today, for your servant Wes, who preached and taught this morning earlier. And we thank you for your servant Steve and Linda as they do the music today. And we pray, Father, for those people who are sick and ill. We pray, Father, that you be with them. We pray, Father, that you're here and that you observe what we are doing and that you see that we are seeking to preach and teach the word that you have given us. We pray, Father, for this country, for the city and the county and the state, and for the people who are sick and ill, that you would be with them and comfort them and help them to recover from the illnesses that they are suffering with. We pray, Father, that each and every one here will leave here today knowing full well that they've been in your house, your church. And we pray your blessings on this church service in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 1 Peter 1, 7 through 19. 1 Peter 1, 7 through 19. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and searched diligently who prophesied of grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain and conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot.
Look out on this group, sparse. But I've always said the cream rises to the top. We've got the cream this morning. It's good to see you. I trust you've had a good week. Look around and thank you, Linda, for being here and bringing your husband, Gene, and the other visitors. I look out and see, and it's good to see your faces, smiles on them. Many things in this old world today that do not bring us a smile, but it is good to see smiles on your faces as we gather together this morning. I was looking through some articles and run across, as I've read to you out of before, complaints that come to a travel agency and the places, resorts that they recommend. Gives you a little bit of insight into people's attitudes today. This one complaint was, we found the sand was not like the sand in the brochure. Your brochure shows the sand is white, but the sand was more yellow where we were at. Another complaint, it's lazy for the local shopkeepers in Puerto Vallarta to close in the afternoon. I often need to buy things during siesta time. That sleep siesta should be banned. And here's a jewel. No one told us there would be fish in the water. Our children were scared. It's the way it goes. Hope you have a smile on your face. The church bulletin that I ran across had this statement. Next Thursday, it'll be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. And I could identify with this because I'm normally the one that's being shot at. Tom remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. He also is having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of the pastor's sermons. Good to hear your laughter. You know, when we get to heaven, I firmly believe there's going to be laughter in heaven. We're going to enjoy ourselves so much. We'll be beside ourselves because of our place in heaven forever and ever. With God, who's the creator of all that exists, and with Christ, who gave himself for us. Folks, this morning we're blessed beyond all measure. Small as our congregation is this morning, it's good to have you. And I trust the Lord blesses you for being here this morning. In looking at today's scriptures and considering what the Lord would have to be said, I have some scriptures that I would like to share with you, but before we do that, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for the gift of eternal life that is ours through faith in Christ, and his death on the cross is full and complete payment for our sin. We thank you, Father, for that gift that gives us the privilege, the opportunity to come to you in prayer and to seek those things that we have need of or desire. Father, our desire is this morning that you would be honored and glorified. Father, that your word would make a difference in our lives. Give us, Father, that we pray for this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our study is in 1 Peter. We're continuing our 1 Peter study beginning in verse 7. So if you want to turn there, feel free to do that. In looking at these verses of 1 Peter, I find that there is a common chord of thought, train of thought, that goes through the book of 1 Peter. And as I was looking at this, I began to consider other things that I had learned and saw in our study of 1 and 2 Timothy along with Titus. The same thought was carried through. And I began to think about that and to look around me and to see the experiences that I have had in the months preceding today. Where was my joy? Things came my way that did not cause a smile on my face. Why was I experiencing these things that were not pleasant to experience? I know I'm not the only one because I've visited with several of you who have voiced maybe not to the extent that I feel like that I had experienced these unpleasantries, but I know that you have gone through things, illness, continuing aches and pains. Some of that can be attributed to old age, and others can be just contributed to the things that are floating around in our atmosphere that we catch and bring us the uncomfortableness many times we endure. As I began to look at that and began to read in 1 Peter once again and to go over the things that we have previously talked about in 1 Peter, I began to look elsewhere in the Word of God, and I want to share some things with you and see if you pick up on the things that I picked up on. We find Paul writing to the church in Rome in chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. We find a causative effect and then a result here in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Paul had been going through tribulations. Tribulations are never fun. Tribulations can take many different aspects and characteristics. None of them pleasant. And Paul said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Paul had tribulations. He had trials. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Paul had a mindset as he was writing here in Romans chapter 5, a mindset that tribulations he was enduring would work within him to bring about patience on his part. He goes on and he says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. This hope is not a hope-so hope, but it is an assurance of the things that he knows are to come, that they will come around and be his. He will experience those things that have been promised to him. He writes later in Romans chapter 5, verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, there's that word again, troubles, just means aggravations, just sometimes minor and then sometimes major. We can have major tribulation as God's word. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? These things, Paul said, are evident in the life of believers, in the life of the church. We've experienced some of those here in times past. He writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Boy, Paul is really going through some difficulties. But you see, Paul's attitude towards those things, they always end in a positive result. Now, as we as believers today, do we suffer the same things that Paul has suffered? Sometimes, Paul has suffered many times in his ministry, things that are much more difficult than what we have endured. But he said, in those he rejoicing in hope, because he's assured of the outcome. Patient in tribulation. Enduring those things that are unpleasant. Enduring those things that bring pain to the body as well as to the spirit. Continuing instant in prayer. There's certain things that these tribulations, persecutions, distresses, famines, nakedness, peril, or sword bring about in our life. And that is an enhanced walk with the Lord. Going to Him, realizing our inadequacies of taking care of and overcoming these things in and of ourselves. That was Paul's experience. Did you get an idea of the things that Paul was experiencing in his walk with the Lord? We see, Paul wasn't the only one. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. These temptations are not just necessarily temptations of the flesh, but just the problems of day-to-day living. Manifold temptations. He writes in verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious, trial, temptations, problems, distresses, anguish, sorrow, these types of things, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. These two men, Peter and Paul, had a goal in mind. And it was not a goal that was accomplished by self-effort or by being in and of themselves sufficient, but they were assured of the goal that God had set for them, and that is their place in heaven forever and ever. Peter writes also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Does this give us an idea that we're not the only ones who have suffered or who are suffering? But it seems as though every child of God, God has set aside this thing of times of trials and sufferings and pain and anguish, not because He dislikes us or doesn't love us, but because it brings about something in our life that is honoring and glorifying to Him. What could that be? We're going to try to look at some of those things this morning. But Peter here in 1 Peter 4 calls them a fiery trial. those things that are just hard to bear up under. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. Boy, some people I've heard say in the past, boy, I'd just love to be just like Paul. Paul's road was not all smooth. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears, temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. These were attacks that Paul was under by others. James writes in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Is there a common thread there? Does that bell that we hear ring the same tone with all of these great men of Scripture? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The emphasis is, and the source of comfort is God Himself. We many times don't realize that. But it's the trials and tribulations and circumstances that are so unpleasant that we as His children go through that drive us to our knees, that drive us to His side, that drive us in contemplation of His goodness and of our dependence upon Christ who gave Himself for us. We're comforted of God, Paul says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you, I am filled with comfort, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. What's our attitude towards tribulation? Well, Peter has some things to say about that, and we'll be getting to that here shortly. But one other verse, 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So we find all of these examples in the Word of God of the difficulties, the unpleasantness that we as God's children are expected to endure. This is not something that is only related to Paul and to Peter and to James, but I find throughout the Word of God that it applies to all who know Christ as their personal Savior. Why is that? Well, may I suggest to you that the suffering, the tribulations, the trials, the discomforts, the attacks that we suffer as God's children, along with the Word of God who says that our faith and trust of these great men of God were upon God Himself, does that not mean that we as God's children become closer to God in our sufferings? I think so. I think that's the root cause of these sufferings, to cause our dependence upon God to be increased, to take our eyes off ourselves and to place our eyes upon God who knows all the things that we're going through. I've come to maybe understand a little more clearly how suffering, trials, and tribulations and the Scriptures create within us as His children, create within us a holiness that we would not have otherwise. And the holiness is not of our own volition and of not of our own effort, but we as God's children are holy because God says, I am holy. Not I, but He said, He is holy. God said, I am holy, so you be holy also. So I'm convinced that sometimes these sufferings and trials and tribulations are here to produce holiness in the child of God, to force us to Him in difficult times, to cause us to depend upon Him for relief. These things, I'm sure, in my own mind, cause us to have a closer walk with the Lord. The combination of suffering and scriptures are two things that produce dependence upon Christ. Mold us unto Christ's likeness. Christ suffered. He suffered beatings. He suffered attacks. He suffered even death upon the cross, that you and I might have everlasting life as a gift. In verse 10 of 1 Peter, as we pick up our study this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes and he says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired." Now, this word inquired is a little bit unique. It means to be diligently sought for, have inquired, to seek it with earnestness. So, of which salvation the prophets have delightfully, excitedly sought after and searched diligently for, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. These folks, they were looking, that these folks that Peter wrote to, and books of 1 Peter and 2 Peter are not like 1 and 2 Timothy or Romans or Thessalonians. Those were written to and specified to the as the recipients of those epistles should be pointed to. This 1 Peter and 2 Peter are just for believers in general. What Peter is writing, salvation, we find, is a subject of prophecy throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Of which salvation the prophets delightedly sought for." Prophets and apostles bore witness of the salvation that was to come. And God delivered upon that promise in the Old Testament. When Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died and paid for our sin, paid the debt that we owe, and gives us eternal life as a free gift. In verse 11, we go on to read, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify." That word "signify" means to make plain, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory, the honor, the praise, and the worship that should come as a result of Christ's suffering. You see, back when the prophets were writing in the Old Testament, they could only see across the valley and see the outcome of what they were prophesying. They prophesied Christ would come. He would die and pay a death payment. That's what they saw. But you and I, living today as God's children, it's almost like two mountain peaks and a valley in between. And we live in that valley. And we can look back and we can see what the prophets said, what they prophesied about Christ. We can look forward to see that Christ did die and sin has been paid for and the grace that brought that payment to you and I. You see, the prophets saw these two events from their viewpoint. We get to see it from a viewpoint that God has allowed us to see it from. See the prophets in the Old Testament, seeing the accomplishment and fulfilling of their prophecies, all to bring about the free gift of eternal life through the death of Christ. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed. That word revealed is like you pull back the covers from a bed. You reveal what is in the bed. Or you remove the cover from a covered dish and you know and can see what's there in that vessel. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost empowered this message, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into but can't. You see, the angels created beings do not have the option of trusting Christ. Created, some fallen, some unfallen, that exist today. And the angels, God's Word says, pondering the mystery of God's love for you and I. The apostles delivered the gospel. People believed in the gospel that they were heard and were saved. Although the angels desired to also minister the gospel, they were not permitted to preach the gospel. God had other tasks for them to do. God depends upon you and I as His children to share that good news. Are we faithful to that task? Are we accomplished in that presentation? We should be. Verse 13 goes on to say, wherefore gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. That just seems to mean to renew or to refocus what your priorities are in life. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Means to watch faithfully, to look intently to see what God would have us as His children to be about in these days in which we live, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace, abundant joy, made plain, pleasure, thanksgiving, all of these things will be ours when we see Jesus Christ face to face. Peter here uses that word, hope. Peter is the apostle of hope. He wrote probably more about hope than any other writer in the New Testament. You see, the Scriptures gave Peter hope. The Scriptures give us hope today. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. The Scriptures lead you and I, as God's children, to obedience and understanding and comprehension. And yes, I'm sorry it's not that way in most cases, but gives us the power to go forward in our walk with the Lord. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, that's who you and I are in Christ. The Scriptures. The Scriptures, God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, encourages us to move forward in our obedience as the Holy Spirit leads us. In verse 15 we read, but as He which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Holiness is to the spiritual life that water, nourishment, is to the body. Holiness gives us strength. Not our holiness, but the holiness that is ours because of Christ's death on the cross for us. Basically, what Peter's saying is, hey, you infants, you grow up. Grow up. Eat your spiritual spinach, so to speak. Do the things you know you ought to be doing. Have a life that you know you ought to be living. I find that many times as we look around, there's many people who claim and say and testify to the point that they know Christ as Savior. But their vocabulary is lacking. Their interest in life is different than what God would have us to have. God's Word tells us, Peter writes, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Have lives that are honoring and glorifying to the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in reading the Word, more so than reading books. Now, I'm reading a book now that has been given to me, and I appreciate that gift. It's inspiring to me, but my encouragement for day-to-day living, for the trials and the tribulations and the distresses that we experience in this life, come from the Word of God. That's where we get the encouragement that we need to press on. Peter writes, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's written, Peter says. It's in Scripture. That holiness is not possible outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only holiness that we have is in Christ. God wants us to grow, that we might be more like Him as we see the days approaching. We find in verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, reverential trust. Word fear means trust in Him. Our actions and our deeds and our worship and our attitudes, that's every man's work. That's how we face life. That's how we discharge our responsibility in the body of Christ. We need to be busy about what the Lord would have us busy about. We find also the second reason for us to seek that Christ-likeness in our life is that the Lord Jesus one day will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and receive a reward for our lives here on this earth. Verse 18 and 19 we read, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. As I prepared for this morning, my mind was drawn to my life and how much it reflects Christ in the things that I say, in the words in which I express myself, in the actions that I take, the attitudes in my life, am I becoming more Christ-like in my walk? Is the life I'm living worth the price that Christ had to pay on the cross? He paid my price. He paid for my redemption. How about you? How's your life stack up to what God would have it to be? We read in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1, who, Christ, referring to Christ, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last days or times for you. Foreordained means foreknown. We find in verse 21, he goes on, who by him, or through Christ, him, who by, through him, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Our assurance, once again, as God's children, is in the resurrection of Christ, because in that we're guaranteed all that God promised to us who have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Hope, the resurrection of Christ, is our hope. Seeing then, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Love one another. Now that's a toughie. That's a toughie. We need to understand that we need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't mean that we are to take abuse from other believers where that is present. It means that we should love them. We should desire the best for them. I love my wife. I desire the very best for her and my children and my grandchildren. I desire the very best for them. I love them. However, I correct them where correction is necessary. And yes, as I look back over my life, I was corrected by God where that was necessary. He loves us with a perfect love. Seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Many Christians go about, quote unquote, loving the brethren for what the brethren can do for them. Did you ever think about that? Have you ever noticed that in church politics? You love the brethren because the brethren puts a little more on the plate than you do. You see, that's for the wrong motive. We should love them for their good in the Lord. May God encourage us to love the brethren, not with ulterior motives, but with a pure heart. Transforming hope or assurance leads to obedience of the Scriptures and love of the brethren. It never fails. It never fails. That's a true statement. Verse 23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, not by works, not by offerings, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That being born again is just simply being begotten again, experiencing the new birth. The word of God is the instrument of God in producing the new birth. The word of God is also the instrument by which our walk becomes more Christ-like day in and day out. Are we spending the time in the instrument that we should? Are we busy reading books that are good books, but we're taking the position of the writer of that book over those who wrote the scriptures. God inspired, God breathed, if you would. The Word of God is not outdated. Let me encourage you. It's not out of date. It's not out of power. It's not out of influence. It's not out of truth. It's living. It lives today. We need to know and spend time in the Word of God. Being born again is strictly no more, no less than the new birth when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. Verses 24 and 25, we wind up the first chapter of 1 Peter. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth. Boy, we can testify to that. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. How true God's word is. We need to have the refreshing nourishment as God's children by spending time in the Word of God. When those troubling times come, when the difficulties of this life manifest themselves, and they will, if you know Christ as your Savior, and they will, maybe your walk, my walk's not what it should be, God will bring things into our life that force us back to Him. But if your life is, you're striving to become closer to God in your walk, these things still come. God is able to deliver you out of those things. And as I look around this morning, what a pleasure it is to see each one of you and to know that this morning, today, your priorities were to be here with us this morning. I thank you for that. I thank you for the privilege of standing before you this morning and sharing what God has shared with me. And my prayer is that our church and our individual people who attend, members, visitors, long-term visitors, doesn't matter, strive to be all that God would have us to be in our walk with Him. In the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties, and hurts and wounds that we can't share with other people, we can share with God. And through those, and through that time spent, God will bring us relief. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, in it, that not only do we find how we can be your children, but, Father, how we can grow in our walk with you. And Father, we pray that our desire would be that our walk would be as close to you as possible. Father, we pray that you'd bring into our minds the things that we could improve on, such as our attitudes, our desires, our conversation, our vocabulary, all of these things, Father, which reflect you, or else they reflect the world. And Father, may we